20th day of the month. Love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Luke 6, verses 35 through 36. The fifth beatitude, happy the merciful, they shall have mercy shown them. There's an engaging reciprocity about the gospel. Because God is merciful to us, we are to be merciful to others, even to our enemies, without expecting anything in return. Yet the fifth beatitude suggests that those who are merciful will in return receive yet more mercy. Is this a tit-for-tat business arrangement in which God forgives us only as much as we forgive others? Or is it like opening a rolled-up plastic bag? The more we open it, the more we can put into it, and the more we put into it, the more we open it becomes. It's not a matter of tit-for-tat, but rather of making increasingly available a capacity already there in potential. Ponder the potential for mercy God has given you. To what extent have you used it? How might you use it more effectively? To whom do you need to show mercy as a gift, so that they may understand more fully God's gracious gift of forgiveness? Opening prayer. God of all mercies, to us you extend forgiveness and help again and again. Spare us from supposing either that your mercy is automatic or that we must earn or deserve it. Confront us with the mystery of your grace, which is beyond all human comprehension. Calls us to be merciful in your name, that those who see us may see beyond us and find you there. Through Christ, your mercy made flesh. Amen. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 9. I'll lift you high in praise, my God, O my King, and I'll bless your name into eternity. I'll bless you every day. I'll keep it up from now to eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. The fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. God is all mercy and grace, not quick to anger, is rich in love. God is good to one and all. Everything he does is soaked through with grace. From the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 25, verses 30 through 38. Therefore you shall prophesy against them all these words, and you shall say to them, The Lord will roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He'll roar mightily against his fold. He'll shout like those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A clamor has come to the end of the earth, because the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He is entering into judgment with all flesh. As for the wicked, he has given them to the sword, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Behold, evil is going forth from nation to nation, and a great storm is being stirred up from the remotest parts of the earth. Those slain by the Lord on that day will be from one end of the earth to the other. They will not be lamented, gathered, or buried. They will be like dung on the face of the ground. Wail, you shepherds, and cry, and wallow in ashes, you masters of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and dispersions have come, and you will fall like a choice vessel. Flight will perish from the shepherds, and escape from the masters of the flock. Hear the sound of the cry of the shepherds, and the wailing of the masters of the flock. For the Lord is destroying their pasture, and the peaceful folds are made silent because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He has left his hiding place like the lion, for their land has become a horror, because of the fierceness of the oppressed sword, and because of his fierce anger. From the letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 14 through 21. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely, they have never heard, have they? Indeed, they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of all the earth. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First, Moses says, I'll make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who do not seek me, and I became manifest to those who do not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. From the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one is taken away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. These are the readings of the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wednesday's prayer. In the middle of this week, good Lord, assure me again of your presence in the midst of life. Renew my strength and determination to do your will on earth, even as it is done in heaven. Save me from self-contentment, from a vision that is too narrow. Enable me to reach beyond my parish into my community, beyond my community into every corner of your anguished world. Help me to see even beyond this world into the vast expanse of your universe, created as a sign of your extraordinary love and of your enduring power. This I ask through Christ, through whom all things were made, in whom all things hold together. Amen. A prayer by Mikkel Kuist, entitled The Pornographic Magazine. Lord, I am ashamed of this magazine. You must be profoundly hurt in your infinite purity. The office employees all contributed to buy it. The boy ran to fetch it and pored over it on the way back. Here it is, on its shining pages, naked bodies are exposed, going from office to office, from hand to hand. Such foolish giggles, such lustful glances, empty bodies, soulless bodies, adult toys for the hardened and the soiled. And yet, Lord, man's body is beautiful. From the beginning, you, the supreme artist, held the model before you, knowing that one day you would dwell in a human body when taking on the nature of man. Slowly you shaped it with your powerful hands, and into its inert matter you breathed a living soul. From then on, Lord, you asked us to respect the body, for the whole body is a conveyor of the spirit, and we need this sensitive instrument that our spirits may commune with those of our brothers. Words in long procession lead us toward other souls. A smile on our lips, the expression in our eyes reveal the soul. The clasp of a hand carries our soul to a friend. A kiss yields it to the loved one. The embrace of the couple unites two souls in quest of a new child of God. But it was not enough for you, Lord, to make of our flesh the visible sign of the Spirit. Through your grace, the Christian's body became sacred, the temple of the Trinity, a member of the Lord and a bearer of his God, supreme dignity of this splendid body. Here, Lord, before you tonight, are the bodies of sleeping men, the pure body of the tiny child, the soiled body of the prostitute, the vigorous body of the athlete, the exhausted body of the factory worker, the soft body of the playboy, the surfeited body of the rich man, the battered body of the poor man, the beaten body of the slum child, the feverish body of the sick man, the painful body of the injured man, the paralyzed body of the cripple, all bodies, Lord of all ages. Here's the body of the fragile newborn baby, plucked like ripe fruit from its mother. Here's the body of the light-hearted child who falls and gets up, unmindful of his cuts. Here's the body of the worried adolescent who doesn't know that it's a fine thing to grow up. Here's the body of the grown man, powerful and proud of his strength. Here's the body of the old man, gradually failing. I offer them all to you, Lord, and I ask you to bless them while they lie in silence, wrapped in your night, left by their sleeping souls. They are there before your eyes, your own. Tomorrow, shaken from their sleep, they will have to resume work. May they be servants and not masters, welcoming homes and not prisons, temples of the living God and not tombs. May these bodies be developed, purified, transfigured by those who dwell in them, and may we find them at the end of their days, faithful companions, illumined by the beauty of their souls. In your sight, Lord, and in your mother's, since you both belong to our earth, and all the bodies of men will be the guest in glory of your eternal heaven. Amen. The Lord's Prayer, traditional text. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.